Welcome to the Hello First Name Podcast. The Hello First Name Podcast revolves around the term personalization and is brought to you by marketing author Rasmus Holin, founder of Omnichannel Institute and chief experience officer at the marketing automation software company Agilic. The podcast is based on the book Hello First Name. Each episode is based in turn on a chapter from the book, followed by a discussion of the very same chapter with an expert marketing practitioner in the following episode. As always, you can buy the book on Amazon or other bookstores. You can also choose to listen to it all for free on your favorite podcast service. You're also very welcome to download the abstract of the book for free, and all models, of course, are able to download. All downloads are sponsored by Agilic. I'll make sure to put a link to everything in the show notes, but you can always connect on LinkedIn, and I'll be happy to reply and help out. Chapter 17, Conversion Rate Optimization and Personalization. The previous chapter showed how your decision to personalize or not should be closely linked to the current scale of your customer database. If you've decided you need to build more scale, there are options for your marketing team beyond waiting around for scale to build. How about conversion rate optimization? CRO and personalization are two very different things. Quite often, however, you'll find the same people discussing and even working with them. CRO is a discipline that relates closely to e-commerce and is all about removing friction for users who are potentially wanting to make a purchase with you. It's about experimenting to find the best possible selection and positioning of content, navigation, and functionality to maximize the share of visitors who convert to become customers by making a purchase. Prioritizing between CRO and personalization. On most websites, and especially if you haven't applied the data collection tactics mentioned in the previous chapter, many or even most visitors will be anonymous. The only thing identifying a visitor will be the session cookie, which is living an increasingly short life due to the tech giants carefully crafting their own walled gardens of data in the name of privacy, i.e. they are killing the cookie and spoiling email open rate tracking. So, if the majority of your visitors are anonymous, it makes sense to retain a heavy focus on optimizing the general customer experience on your website. And even if you can identify most of your visitors, you'll still want to spend plenty of time on optimization, simply because building websites, e-commerce platforms, and apps is complex. Many arbitrary design decisions are made during such a project, and thus there is very little chance that you'll get them all right on the first go, no matter how good your personas and your designers are. Shifting from CRO towards personalization. For most marketing projects, then, it makes sense to optimize for your unknown customers until you have got to know them. Once you know them well enough and you've removed most of the friction from the generic experience, you can switch to personalization tactics instead, while still measuring the effect in much the same way as with CRO. In practice, if possible, always test the personalized version, i.e. all the personalized variants as a whole, against a non-personalized version. Essentially, you're still doing CRO, but with personalization on top. Refer back to chapter 14 for a recap on measuring the value from personalization. When to shift from CRO to personalization? Due to the differing nature of marketing projects, the best time to switch from a CRO approach to a personalization approach will vary. Think back to our discussion in chapter 8 about how important the message is when working with inbound versus outbound communication. The message is by far the most important aspect when working outbound. As a consequence, personalization should start earlier for this type of marketing. Let's explore this point a little more deeply, stepping through each of the scenarios summarized in figure 24. Remember that all models can be downloaded from omnichannelinstitute.com/resources. Following our fairly wide definition of personalization from chapter 3, working with campaigns on paid media is hardly possible without doing some kind of personalization. Gone are the days when everybody watches the same TV show on Friday night. The closest modern equivalent we can come up with is the Super Bowl in the USA. So many people watch this that in practice very little personalization, or in this case segmentation, takes place. Even if we turn to out-of-home media such as posters on bus stops or billboards, the choice of placement will be determined based on the kind of people living in each neighborhood. For campaigns based on owned media, such as email newsletters, there is definitely the option of sending a one-size-fits-all newsletter, and we all receive these now and again. many marketers are doing subject line testing, which is basically CRO. On the other hand, it takes very little effort to let customers self-segment, either at sign-up by clicking subscribe to women's or subscribe to men's, or by asking for a few details such as interests or preferences. So even if you have trouble getting data integrated into your execution platforms, there is almost no excuse not to do a little personalization of at least the subject line, the highlighted offer, or the selection of product feeds in the emails themselves. The point is that personalization starts early for owned media campaigns. Marketing automation projects focus primarily on matching the right moment of truth with the right message. As long as this message is generic and supports the customer in completing a certain task by removing friction, you could argue that this is, in fact, both CRO and personalization. When the time comes to craft specific variants of this message, depending on the receiving segments, however, you've definitely moved on to personalization. As discussed earlier in this chapter, the switch to personalization from CRO comes late for many inbound platform projects, such as websites and apps. On these platforms, the personalization of messages is secondary to personalizing the content feed for products, articles, shows, and such. Nevertheless, to the extent that it is easy to personalize your content feeds, then by all means start this process early, but hold back on your effort to personalize messages and functionality for a while. Diehard CRO fans will argue that increasing conversions by 1% for 100% of visitors using CRO is just as good as increasing conversions by 10% for 10% of visitors using personalization. Based on a firm belief in the long-term effect of personalization on customer loyalty and emotional commitment, we would argue that customers who have a seriously personalized experience will also have had a much more memorable experience that stands out, stays in their memory, and is worth telling their friends about. Personalization runs deeper than just chasing conversions. So, who is personalization not for? In this part of the book, we set out to discuss when personalization is not the right communication tactic. To conclude on this topic, first of all, we strongly suggest only doubling down on personalization if your basic value proposition is in place and your core business is working properly. If this is not the case, then definitely hold back for a while when it comes to personalization. The hype can still be real, see chapter 1, without it necessarily being a good idea for you right now. Second, you need to have established a trusted brand and created demand for your offering. This may be a marketing exercise, but not one that has a lot to do with personalization. If no one knows your name, you have to start the conversation yourself. And the beginning of that conversation will hardly be personalized. It's about who you are and what you deliver. The Marketing Week article we discussed in Chapter 2 about forgetting personalization because it doesn't work is about this exact scenario. Of course, you shouldn't have one version of your core brand story for each individual. Third, customer data is needed to determine the insights that will fuel your personalization. If your go-to-market model makes it too hard to ever achieve scale for known customers and to collect the corresponding first-party data, then personalization will not be the most effective tool in your belt. It may still work to some extent on paid media, but within owned media, you're not going to be tying any personalization knots anytime soon. Finally, if you do have the opportunity to collect first-party data and consents from known customers but just haven't achieved scale yet, then it's more a matter of time before personalization is the right communication tactic for you. Spend this time optimizing the core customer experience in its generic form while collecting marketing consents and first-party data.
Thank you for listening in on this episode of Hello First Name. Remember that all models and even a written abstract of the book are available for download. You'll find the link in the show notes.
In our next episode, which is a classical podcast format, we'll be discussing the chapter you just listened to, namely Chapter 17, Conversion Rate Optimization and Personalization, with a person known as the Queen of CRO, Marianne Schoenwald, top consultant within CRO, acting digital director at Tealy2, and ex-co-op in Sweden.